Tonight our main speaker is Victoria, someone really dear to me. I love her like a sister. We've done a lot of service work together, and anytime I'm in a jam and I need somebody to help me out with some kind of service commitment, if she's not working, she is there. You can always count on her. Mm-hmm. So, without any further ado, Victoria.
Hi, I'm Victoria. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 18th, 2010. My last drink was 24 hours prior to that, of course. Hi, Drew. Drew, you had a birthday.
You did.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I got in late for the chips.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Sorry to interrupt those celebrations. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and I heard people say newcomers, for some reason I wasn't too shy. I went up there and got that newcomer chip. I kind of knew that it had a prayer on it. And I thought, okay, that's a start. And then as the weeks turned into, you know, days turned into weeks or whatever, to see people celebrate 30, 60, 90 days was incredible. Because I don't think I had ever gone that long, maybe 3 months worth of pregnancy. Oh no, probably not all the way through that. Probably not all the way through it. But tampered or dampered to extremes. Maybe 21 stay in the hospital. I think I didn't drink then. A 21 stay in jail. I didn't drink then. Although I hear you can in certain places. But that was a big deal. And I remember getting that first 30-day chip. And just that experience, going 3 days, I haven't had any brandy, no nothing. Cool. Well, maybe I will make 30, but I'm at a meeting. My chances are good. I got to pray today with umpteen people that were in the room with me, and that made it all that much more likely. That's my humble opinion, but I know it works that way. What it was like? All right, what it was like? I came from a large family, fairly diverse. I'm the eldest of five kids. We didn't know that perhaps we weren't the most normal childhood. We moved around a lot. We lived in foster homes and different. I don't like that word institution any more than I like the word program, but different places. And we also lived with family. And today, as I can see the differences, because of the education I have now, I'm sure a lot of it was due to alcoholic behaviors in our family. I have three uncles. None of them drink. I have a brother in the program. 15 years. What a miracle. I had no clue. Just was barely clueless. And I came in here on a gift card. I learned to call it a gift card instead of a court card, but that's what it was. I hadn't been arrested in close to at least 10 years. So it was my first offense, but it was not the first time. And it was not to the extremes the other times had been. There was reckless driving. There was a horrible accident. There was numerous times. But it was just a pattern. I didn't know what the pattern was until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I had been sober long enough to pay attention, like, oh, that's what I was really up to. We're great storytellers, alcoholics. And lying to ourselves, we're very famous for that. And I did that a lot. Very famous in my own mind. Great stories. Basic thing is this. Every 7 to 10 years, I moved, got married, divorced, got arrested. It didn't happen to happen in that order. That's how it went. Geographic usually came with that, too. My first husband, I was married at 16. That was a geographic to get away from my family in Los Angeles and be on my own. Actually, I did a huge geographic. I left San Antonio, Texas. And it took me a little while to finally land in Santa Barbara. What a blessing that was. Big difference from San Antonio to Santa Barbara. And I lived with my favorite auntie, Anita. She died of this disease. too as a mother to me more than one time. One of my first jobs was being a telemarketer. They sold magazines over the phone and put a pitch up on the wall and said, you want that, you know, you wouldn't have worked for those clothes you're getting right now. And they'd actually put me on the phone and let me do this. And I would do that after school. And, you know, to them it was probably entertainment. To me it was like, oh, I'm responsible for this. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it's not. I think people knew it was a young kid on the phone and either responded or not. They were marvelous people. My uncle also died of this disease, my Uncle Glenn. That was her husband. I was able to see him. I hadn't seen him in over 20 years. And because I married a truck driver later in life, I got to go out to this little place called Ennis, Texas. And I heard he lived somewhere in the vicinity, and I got on the phone and tracked him down. And I got a call back from him, and he said, who is this? I said, this is your niece. It's Vicki Lynn. Because my true, honest name is Vicki Lynn. Vicki Lynn Smith. Victoria became a working name because Social Security office said you can have a working name. I said, that sounds good to me. And nobody else was called Victoria as often. Anyways, back to Uncle Glenn. He still drank wine. He still smoked Pall Mall Straights. And he had this great little barbecue house in Conroe. And in a place called Cut and Shoot. And I was able to see him on and off for 3 years. And that was great. It was great. It was nice to be reunited. They had taken good care of me as a 10-year-old. So the news came that he did pass. And that was alcoholism again. So we'll fast forward. My first husband, I was married about 2 years. It was basically so I could be an independent, what do they call it, something minor. I was a minor. Thank you, emancipated. That's what happened. By the time I was 18, I was having my first divorce. That husband also died of the disease. And that was some years ago. I have a daughter that's 40. Beautiful girl. Beautiful young lady. Genevieve. I met her father when I was about 18 or 19. Somewhere around there. He had a free money sign in his window. It said free money. And it was at this exotic hippie gallery. And so I went to this gallery and to check out this free money sign. And here was this esoteric musician, poet person there. And him and I had a long, fairly long-term relationship. We had a daughter together. We never did marry. He asked me more than once, and we did not marry. I can't claim whether he's an alcoholic or not. He lives in Ohio today, and we do still have a relationship of sorts, you know. Blessed be, he's not passed away. Blessed be, he'll get to know his granddaughter that my daughter has now. After that relationship, I did a lot of jobs in my entire life. I think my most favorite was probably hairdressing, right up there with waiting tables. But service to other people seemed to be lucrative, for one. Pretty consistent. We all need to eat. We all need our haircut. So that's what was going on. I also went to bookkeeping and income tax school. My first husband had a bookkeeping and income tax company. That's what I learned to do. And I did it by learning from somebody else. That's what we do here. I'm learning from other people that have gone through the things I have, that I'm going to go through in that future. So Harry Gary Haircutting Company. I walked up to this guy's house. I was a bookkeeper for a hairdresser. He said, I want to hire this guy. Will you go over to his house and check him out and tell him he's got the job? And I just was terrified, mortified. You know how you have that instant, I don't think I like this person? And then I go and marry him some years later anyway. Okay. It's just the facts. He was, and as time went, he was a pretty good hairdresser. Whatever. He was a pretty good hairdresser. We grew. Sean was actually a planned child. That was different in my lifetime. We planned. And I also had this rule that I could not get pregnant during the summer months because it was horribly uncomfortable. You can't wear a bathing suit, da-da-da. And she popped up just at the right time. It was perfect. Both of my daughters are born in May. Awesome. And they're 7 years apart. My sister has daughters that are 7 years apart. So a lot of things reflect in the family. Well, let's get into recovery there. So, Harry Gary, yeah. Well, my drinking started at probably 18, 19, Santa Barbara, really, because I wanted to have a sense of belonging. People around me drank. It usually made me sick right off the bat, so I didn't drink much. But it was something I wanted to learn to do, because this stuff was exotic, and it changed how I felt. And the throwing up didn't last forever. Okay? And it seemed to go very well with other joyful substances that we could change that around too. I worked a lot of graveyard shifts as a waitress. I worked during the day as a bookkeeper. I mean, I just kept active all the time. I played hard and wildly. I know that when I left Sean's father and I opened a hair cutting company. It was right downtown. And that was wildlife. It was exactly like I said, we're hippie, fairly agnostic. We would participate with family in that occasionally for the Christmas holidays or going to church and attending funerals and other kinds of things, but we really had no set thing. I would say prayers with my girls at night. They were the basic ones I was taught as a kid. That's how it went. So the spirituality was next to nil, or right at nil. I was able to, my brothers and sisters came in and out of my home now and again. I could put them up for a while and help them. They were homeless. They had come across the country, you know, and my parents were gone. Our parents were, they were usually askew, and something would happen. So as these children got older, they got to make a choice like I did, get the heck out of there and do something different. I was glad I had a stable place they could come to, and that was about it. I could give them shelter, I could feed them, and maybe give them a hand up. And all five of us are alive. That's a miracle by the grace of God. By the grace of God, it's a miracle. So my first wreckage was in Santa Barbara. I think I got a reckless driving. I don't remember much about it. I know that I had to go to court and I had to pay a fine. And in those days, it was probably the very late 70s, nothing really, no recourse. And I ditched a lot of other possibilities. The severity of drinking happened because I didn't know how to deal with life on life's terms. I knew how to work. I knew how to tidy up a house. I knew how to do laundry. I knew how to answer the phone, these kind of things. But to live and deal with feelings, I was learning to suck them down. To emotions, they came out in rants and raves. And then I would be in that incomprehensible demoralization where you feel miserable and you hate yourself and you don't understand why you're doing this. And I would never admit that, but that is how it felt deep inside. And it did start to leave a gaping hole. So life went on. I'm into my 40s. My third marriage was a bust. Shawnee's father literally chased me out of the haircutting company one day, and I'm running downtown Santa Barbara, and he's hoping that a car hits me, and I'm hoping that a car hits him. It was pretty ugly. And we can't say if he's alcoholic or not. I can't say that, but he doesn't drink anymore. I can say that. We have a relationship today. We have these beautiful daughters that we share, and that's possible today, where it wasn't before. I married this truck driver I basically met on the street corner when I was selling flowers, and because I thought he could take care of me. And I did this big geographic out to Napomo out toward Black Lake, and there was nothing out there. And my girls couldn't have their 10-speed bikes because they didn't fit in the sand. And there were coyotes, and there were bats, and possums, and things that we didn't have downtown Santa Barbara. But isolating there didn't do it either. There was Jocko's. It was only about 6 miles away. And I didn't realize that that's what my life was revolving around. About going to meals, having cocktails, da-da-da, and everything had its spot. Like, these girls went to this school, this is their time, this is their bus. So I thought I was managing, you know? That hippie lifestyle had changed to, I'm married to a redneck, okay? And he finds me entertaining, okay, good. He wasn't very entertaining. I had things I didn't have before, like an American Express card, brand new car, great home, great business, but there wasn't the love. My daughters weren't real happy with them, but they were really good-spirited kids, man. I don't know how they did it. Today I can. But we can talk about it now, and we can see what we learned from that situation, and I can see where my faults were, and I have made amends to the best of my ability. And so, like I said, every 7 to 10 years, marriage, divorce, move, whatever it was, different job, 2 or 3 jobs, didn't matter. There was a time when I just about died. I flipped my car, my brand new car, and that's kind of how that marriage went out by the wayside. And I was in the hospital for 21 days, so I didn't drink during that time. They gave me interesting drugs to keep me still. They kept me in direct observation for 6 days. So here my daughters are coming to the hospital, they see me bloody and bleeding, and they have no idea what's going to happen next. And I didn't either. When I got out of that, I was facing a real DUI. And here it's some years later. So there's real consequences. There's jail. There's the reparations for cutting up this guy's field. There's paying for the paramedics that saved my happy bottom. And healing. I had broken my back, my leg, split my pelvis in half, collapsed a lung. And I healed. And I do what I do today, gratefully. The thing I remember most is they said, do you think you can? I said, I sure hope so. Yes, I would love to be alive more. I said, my first question was, can I walk again? I said, most likely you can. But you can't go on doing these things you were doing. They noticed the substances in my lungs. They noticed the alcohol content, all that stuff. They didn't come out and say it like that. And I think doctors, perhaps today, are more frank. I would hope that they are. This guy was amazing. He was a sports... This was a guy that was on call. How lucky could I get? And he was a sports therapeutic surgeon. I was scared to death. I really was. I didn't die, but I was scared. I remember people coming from my old job, a couple of these women, they came and they said, we came to offer you some help. We know you have these kids. We know you have to have a plan when you get out of here and you can't go back to where you were. So, blessed be, that got to happen. 21 days. Then I went to court and I had to go spend 21 days in jail. I didn't like it very much. But I didn't drink during that time, so I knew it was possible not to do that. Let's see how we're doing. I'm going to wrap it up real quick. Anyways, Alcoholics Anonymous popped up again. I got a DUI. It was a dark, stormy night. I was in an illegal immigrant van that my daughter and I used to use for our karaoke show. We were out there singing karaoke, drinking it and smoking it and doing the things, and... Yeah, one too many kamikazes. I had an idea that I might not do that because it wasn't long enough from there over to Bill's place for that to not have that effect. And the bubblegum lights came on. And I wasn't freaking out. I just didn't freak out. So, on to... I was locked up for an hour and a half. They let me go. I didn't have to go pick my car up. Nothing. I hit that button when I was being pulled over on the cell phone. Thank God for cell phones. said, I think I might get arrested here. Can you come meet me so I don't have to, miss responsible.
No, the phone was on and I heard you getting arrested.
Is that what it was? Thank you. Okay, she heard me getting arrested. Incomprehensible demoralization. But I am, the next thing that saved my life was having to go to DUI classes and to pay and to be responsible to show up. And since I wasn't drinking so much, there was a tad of clarity somewhere. Somewhere there was a little clearness. And I was liking those classes and I was learning all kinds of things about my drinking. And they had people from AA, a couple of people came in and shared. And the counselor I had there, she was one of us. I didn't know it at the time. And she looked at me straight up and said, this is going to be painful. And I'm going, yeah, okay, painful. There are painful parts. It's the growth. Steps 1, 2, and 3. I wanted to do those right away. When I came into the rooms, I heard your message. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was going insane. I was repeating same mistakes. I was locking myself out of things. I was still showing up and doing the deal that put food in my mouth and definitely a bottle in the cabinet. And this DUI class had convinced me to, in my mind, I'm convinced I'm not going to drink today. And that lasted for almost 2 days. And on the second day, I got my butt to Alcoholics Anonymous. It was required of my program anyway. And I heard the message right that day. What a blessing. And the first meeting I went to was a happy hour because it said happy hour. Otherwise, I would have been 2 blocks away at the Eagles at happy hour, doing happy hour. They open early enough in the morning, too, you know. I went back an hour and a half later. I wanted to hear it again. And I went back the next day. And pretty much the next day, only time I didn't go was probably during a work schedule. I continue to make as many meetings as possible today. I have a sponsor. Hi, Trish. What a blessing. I picked her because she was a blackout driver on the 405 freeway. And it was somewhere I lived as a kid, right? And I could relate to that because I was a blackout driver. I didn't know what the definition was until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, until I went through those DUI classes being open-minded enough to go, I'm a sick person. Today, I'm a much better person. And that's because of you all. It's because of how you speak the message. It's because Victor and I can go into the detox facility and talk about steps 1, 2, and 3. It's because Yolanda and I can travel to somewhere we've never been before and find out we have a friend in common who died of this disease also. And she was there to help me through that. I wondered about that person for a long time as a childhood friend. This is what Alcoholics Anonymous, my journey's been like. I had the honor of serving District 52 for the last 4 years. I didn't know what that was about. And what it's about is gathering information and carrying it to another area. Then we carry that information to New York. And then over a period of time, things happen. Like the spirituality pamphlet. Like the Bridging the Gap program. Like me being elected to chair District 52 and be responsible every month to show up and hold a meeting where everybody else gets to talk and I just have to chair and learn to do something entirely different. And I began to believe that I was equipped and capable and that I had some self-worth that was to give away. That I see the most. Any service work we do, we're giving back to others. The smallest bit of service work, if you're picking up garbage as you walk along, meeting, and you're doing anything, it's service. So today is a good day. I'm still married to the last man I married. It's been 21 years. I still have the same dog I had when I got sober. And he doesn't drink anymore either, which is awesome. And sometimes I just look up and smile and say, I know that was you, God. Thanks. Because that's where it came from. I have a power greater than myself that I understand today, and I can choose to say the word God and not be freaked out about it. I can share that with my agnostic ex, and he's not offended. And he accepts me as I am today. And I have daughters that are mothers now, and they're marvelous. They used to tell me they would probably not be mothers. So I'm a grandma today. I'm grateful. I'm just very grateful. There's a bunch of you out there I know a long time. There's a woman that feeds me chocolate every time I see her. I took a birthday trip tonight. And there's people here that I've seen come in, and I'm so glad you're still here. Just keep coming back. That's the other thing. When I left that happy hour meeting, keep coming back. I asked a couple people, what do I do tonight? They said, here's a big book. You read pages 83 through 87. Read that book from the start to the finish. That's what I did. And I'll continue to do it. And I need more practice right now anyways. So thank you all for letting me share with you tonight. If I've jumped all over, it's okay. I might do it again.
Shawnee and Victoria. Another hand for them. Great job. Tom, if it's okay, can we take a section and give Drew his chip? He came here late. He got 2 years. Can we give Drew his chip?
Sure.
2 years.
All right. We'll get him one. A missed chip is being...
I apologize for being late, everyone. My name's Drew, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Drew.
Oh.